This is an ABC podcast.
Hello. Okay, so the universe is really looking out for the hookup lately because we've been so blessed to chat to some really incredible people. In the same week that I spoke to Angela White and Esther Perel, if you haven't already listened, definitely listen to those episodes. You can find them in your feed. I also spoke to TikToker Harrison Kefford. So Harrison lives with a chronic illness. He has something called Crohn's disease, and it's completely impacted him for years, physically, emotionally, and mentally. And Crohn's disease is something that, you know, impacts everyone differently. But for Harrison, he got so sick that his doctor suggested surgery to get a stoma bag. Don't worry, he'll explain everything for you in the chat. But yeah, Harrison's first thought was literally, holy shit, no one is ever going to want to have sex with me again. Well, fast forward a year, he's now living his best dating life, and he's a huge advocate for raising awareness on TikTok on what it's like living with a stoma bag, especially when it comes to sex. His TikToks have gone viral, and he's gaining such a huge following at the moment, and it's just really resonating with so many people who also have Crohn's disease or living with a disability, or maybe their partner is, or they just love Harrison just like I do. I came across his TikToks and yeah, just was obsessed with how candid he is about sex, and I just thought, okay, this guy is the perfect person for the hookup. We love anyone who's happy to break down stigmas and doesn't hold back from having those convos about sex that, you know, some people find really awkward. And so, yeah, in this chat, he does exactly that. We talk about some of his hardest days dealing with Crohn's disease, his journey with the surgery, what it was like dating for the first time after getting the stoma bag, you know, and telling people and having sex as well. And yeah, it's a really, really interesting chat, and I think that you'll learn so much from it, just like I did. So enjoy. For anyone listening who has no idea, what is Crohn's disease?
Crohn's disease is one of two forms of IBD. So people can often think, like they hear the word like IBD and they're like, oh, IBS.
Yeah, what is IBD?
It's a disease, two forms, like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And I don't want to say one is worse than the other, but I suppose, because I know people that have UC that are definitely suffering incredibly. But if you want to get one or the other, you probably want to get UC, not Crohn's. I have Crohn's, but I've never met another person that has the same form of Crohn's as me, because everyone's bodies are different, right? And just where my Crohn's affects me, I had to have my colon removed because the Crohn's over a period of 5 years completely fucking destroyed my colon to the point where I was on five different treatments over a period of 5 years. And like one was working for like a year and a half, and then one was only working for like 6 months and stuff like that. And we couldn't find one that worked for me. And the end result was like we could keep trying biological treatments, but I didn't want to go down that route because I was like mentally exhausted, physically exhausted. And just like the hope of every single time that you get a treatment option, it's like, yeah, this one's going to work for you. And look, it could have worked, but I don't know. I have a few other friends that have Crohn's, and I've met other people that have Crohn's, and some people don't get to five. Some people just get to two or three and they're like, let's just go have surgery.
So, you said that it affects everyone differently. How does it affect you? What are some of the things that you experience day to day?
I would wake up every single, like, just to give you like a general rundown, I'd wake up and like as soon as I woke up, I'd be like, okay, I need to go and eat food right now, because if I don't eat food right now, I probably won't eat lunch, and I probably won't have any snacks, because my body will just, whether it's like a mind thing or my gut, will just be like, if you eat this, you're probably going to go shit your pants or something like that. And then I'd be like, okay, so after I've done that, I'm going to have a shower, because if I don't have a shower, I'm not going to feel like I'm going to want to have a shower later, because I'm just going to be so exhausted. And then it's like getting in my car, I'd be like, so I need to make sure where I'm going, I need to know where the toilet is. Because if I don't know where the toilet is, there's a very real chance that like if I eat something and when I'm out, or I'm drinking or something like that, then I could soil myself, which is disastrous. And it's happened, not a lot, but it's happened a couple of times, which is quite embarrassing. And as I said before, like relating to some other people, but like most people with IBD in some capacity have felt like they're either going to shit their pants or they have shit their pants. So it's not like just a one-off thing for me, but I suppose for me, yeah, it happened a few times. And I lost a lot of weight. I was like less than 60 kilos for like a period of like 5 years. I think anyone looked at me, they'd be like, you probably weigh like around 70. I'd be like, no, like if you look at me, get a good look at me. You could see like my ribs and things like that. Lack of sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep properly. I have to be like heavily medicated like everything that I do. And when I say heavily medicated, it was to do with things like taking steroids, and that's called prednisolone. And prednisolone long term is like disastrous for your body, to the point where I've now been diagnosed with like a form of osteoporosis. So someone at my age getting osteoporosis is it's not rare, because there are people like younger than me too that are diagnosed with osteoporosis, but like I've been diagnosed with osteoporosis because for like years and years and years, whether it was my doctor telling me to take the prednisolone, it was me just being like, I'm going to take this now because I know like if I take this, I can go out and enjoy myself with friends or at a gig, and I can go drink alcohol and I won't have to wake up and feel like there is a pen pushing out of my gut, you know?
It's just scary. Sounds so exhausting. Your whole mental, your whole day.
It's a whole thing. I've never met someone with Crohn's or IBD that isn't just both physically and more so mentally exhausted, because it is like a debilitating, life-changing disease.
Tell us about the surgery. How did you get to that point, and what was the surgery?
Okay, so I have an ileostomy and a subtotal colectomy. And for anyone out there that doesn't have a stoma, or for you looking at me.
Yeah, I'm like, they...
what the fuck is that?
They are smart words.
They are smart words,
that
yes.
I do not know.
and here's my thing is like, I don't know the dictionary definition, but here's what it looks like for me. And so from November, I went and had a colonoscopy, which is like a routine like scope where they stick a little camera up your butt and have a look at stuff like that. And I've had scopes before, and they've never really gotten the camera up that far because my insides have just been so inflamed. And if they put the camera up the wrong way or something like that, then it could perforate things, which is disastrous. So the guy that did my colonoscopy was my surgeon that did the surgery. And the reason for that is like, if he was going to go do the surgery, then he wanted to have a really good look rather than my gastroenterologist. Then I woke up from the colonoscopy and he comes in, as the doctors do, and he's like, all right, well, we're going to do the surgery. And I'm like, oh, really? I don't get to like, you know, talk about this. He's like, well, I think it's best if we do the surgery. And I'm like, oh, right. So he sits down next to me and he starts writing all this stuff down and he goes, so when do you want to go in? And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe 2 months. He's like, nah, 2 weeks.
What?
And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, like this, I think we need to do this in 2 weeks. And this was at the time when COVID was still going around and hospital system was all still crazy and things like that. And I've heard disaster stories of people overseas and they have like no choice and they just have to go in and get it done now and sort of thing. And so whenever someone asks me like, did you have a choice with this, I'm like, well, yes and no. But yeah, so I had 2 weeks just to mull this over my head. It didn't feel like 2 weeks. It probably was like less than 2 weeks. And in between that like period of him walking out the colonoscopy and having the surgery, all I could really do was just like, I was in like this fight or flight mode trying to figure out like, how is this going to look for me, like trying to answer all these questions myself, like what am I going to do when like the girl pulls down my pants or I pull down my pants and there is this bag there? Like what? That was like literally the first thought. And I was like, holy shit. No one is ever going to want to have sex with me ever again. No one is ever going to want to date me again. All these sort of things. And I was already doing TikTok and things like that at that point. And I don't know how I really got through those 2 weeks, but somehow I did. And we're here now. And I'm a lot more happier. And yeah, the surgery itself was painful and complex and scary, but I don't know, I feel like I had a choice and I didn't have a choice, and I think I've made the right decision, I suppose, but upon reflection, I probably did make the right decision.
Yeah. It's so hard, especially when things are like already done. You kind of, your brain just goes, no, it was the best thing for me. Because it's like, what else are you supposed to say? Live in regret? You can't. And so what is the day-to-day like of having a stoma bag now? Like, what does that entail?
I no longer have any function of my butt at all. Like, no function at all. I have no control over it, and nothing comes out of my butt at all. So everything that was previously coming out of my butt in terms of farts.
So you don't fart anymore?
Well, I still do, but I have no control over how I'm doing it. And that's what that filter is for. So like it's like a charcoaly filter.
Yeah.
And it basically functions in like, it makes things smell better than.
Yeah. No, we had a chat about, we were talking about normalizing girls doing poos with that TikTok. We had this chat last week and we spoke about charcoal. I didn't know, but they put charcoal in plane seats.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone farts on, obviously you can't.
Okay, that makes so much
sense. Yeah, because if you're like on a long haul flight and everyone's just farting, like you.
I'm gonna get on my plane next week and be like,
I want charcoal, please. I want to make sure my seat is charcoal.
But yeah, like that filter's there. But I wake up in the morning and I suppose I empty the farts out of my bag because my stoma, I have no control over it.
Yeah.
Like I can't sit here and be like, try and push out like an old person.
Yeah.
Like I don't control. That's why the bag's there, because if I could control, then I could put something little, like a little cap over it, right?
Well, I guess it's like a catheter in a way, right?
I suppose,
like when you are peeing, you have no control. It just happens. And so you just watch it go in.
Yeah, so my stoma just like overnight, because I'm asleep, it just fills up with like fart and gas and poo. And that's the first thing I do in the morning is I get up and sometimes I don't because I'm like, I can just go have breakfast and then all sort of thing. But like, generally speaking, the bag is like literally like a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
Like you could like, if someone popped it, it would like explode.
Can it pop?
Yeah.
Has it popped?
Not for me.
Okay.
You technically call that like a leak. When like, and leaks can happen where you haven't sealed like the adhesive, the plate hasn't like stuck down properly or something like that. Or for some reason, the bag's got a hole in it or something, like you just don't know. And it can explode and things like that. But they're actually really robust and really sturdy, like you'd hope so, like the medical products, you know?
Harrison, you mentioned before that your first thought when you were going to have the surgery and the stoma bag was dating and sex and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Let's chat about some of your experiences.
Yeah.
Maybe...
My favourite subject.
Yeah, and that's why your TikTok is so great. You know, hence why you're here. Yeah. We found you and, you know, it's the hookup. But how did you start navigating your love life after getting the surgery? Did you get on dating apps? Like, what
Not immediately.
Yeah.
I think the unique position that I'm in having a platform on TikTok is like you can reach millions of people, and I do reach millions of people. And millions of people see you. And I always have my Instagram in like my bio so people can DM me, things like that.
Oh, you're just waiting for the DMs. You're like, No, I have this theory that like we don't need dating apps because Instagram is just a dating app.
It basically is. I think TikTok, you know, and it's funny, I posted a TikTok the other day. Like, you know, there's a slideshow feature on TikTok now where you post pictures and it like...
Yeah.
And I posted my Hinge profile on there and like it went viral sort of thing. But I didn't go on dating apps straight away, and I think it was like, I need to get healthy, I need to get more accustomed to my body, and just like, you know that saying, like, you can't love someone else until you love yourself sort of thing? And it's like, as cheesy it sounds, I feel like I needed to just adjust that mentally. Yeah, I think I just had to like throw myself out there and just like get over that like hurdle. And there are a few hurdles with things. And
probably most people already know. Like, it's not a conversation you need to have about like, hey, by the way.
Well, I mean, I think, as I said, I'm in like a unique position where like, I think most people do that, like the social media stalk and all that.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to know about me, I have like a profile, you know, you can come and find me and stuff like that. And I think the first date I went on, the girl definitely knew. On the date, it only came up in conversation like once. And it wasn't even like she pried it out of me. It was more just like very casual conversation. It just come up and she was so chill. And I don't think it didn't work out because of the stone bag. It was just for some reason just... two different people.
Yeah,
stuff.
Normal dating stuff.
Yeah, normal dating stuff, you know. Outside of that, I have never had any issues, and it's kind of crazy me reflecting on now being like, why did I stress so much about some girl being put off by it, you know? I've only been on three people in that time, that space. Well, four if I'm technically speaking about this other girl, but we won't go on.
I know those feelings. I know that vibe. It's like, oh, they don't even deserve a story.
Three people, I suppose, and one of them, not one of them at any point have ever felt like they've been put off by it. Like, definitely not. So
you were worried about sex as well.
Mm-hmm.
Has that happened? And what was that experience like? Is it a similar thing where you're like, why was I so fucking worried about it?
Literally, why was I so fucking worried about it? You know what? I said to my friend Paula, who has a bag as well, like, it feels like you have your V card again the first time. She's like, yeah, you know what? It kind of does, doesn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it's very weird to somewhat, you know, experience your first time again. But in a way, it was like that. And I don't know if I can give a play-by-play because
you absolutely can. It's the hookup.
So, like, I remember the first time, I won't name a girl, but we were sitting on the couch and it went to the bedroom. And I remember there was, like, something that flicked into me and I'm like, okay, this just feels normal again. It doesn't feel like she's going to be like, oh, the bag's there. You know what I mean? I think prior to, like, the couch to the bedroom, I was like, fuck, like, what am I going to do? Like, what if the bag hits her leg or, like, you know, what if it hits her face or like, you know, something like very, you know, and it was very seamless in like, literally, I remember looking at her and she looked at me and like her hands just like, like going down on me, I suppose, like just like, seamlessly going underneath the bag. I didn't even feel like she was put off by it at all. And in terms of like actually doing it, I can't even recall like at one point the bag really interfering any way at all. And if like upon reflecting on it, like prior to coming on and recording and talking, I was telling you about just like the overall experience, which there was a point where a little bit down the track when we were having sex again and the bag was a little bit full. And she said to me, she's like, do you want to go empty it? And I'm like, oh yeah, like I can. She's like, oh, you don't have to if you don't want to. But like, I think that was my, like the vibe where I got from her was like, can you please go empty it? She was just being really nice about it. And so I just emptied it, took 2 minutes, came back and just got back to business. And that was it, you know, sort of thing. And I think all the very, like the misconceptions about having a bag and sex associate with like, what if the bag falls off and the poo falls on the girl or something like that? And it's like, well, if you've made sure that you've put on your bag right and it's emptied, and I suppose if you want to have a conversation, then you're going to have no issues. Like you can just go for your life. And in terms of positions, I have not encountered one position that you can or can't do, I suppose. It's all about just communicating. Like I literally, like as silly as it sounds, like why aren't we having more, like why aren't people telling each other like what they like and don't like? And I think with a bag, it's like, you need to have a conversation at some point. You
know? Yeah, I think that's probably like the most quoted thing on this show is like, communicate. But yeah, we all find it so hard. And interesting you say that thing about people, the misconception about people worrying about shit getting everywhere. I'm like, hello, isn't that just sex? Like,
well,
you know, people have anal sex and obviously people prepare for that, but there's certain types of sex that you'll have where like that could just happen.
It's just like bodily fluids.
It's bodily fluids. It's just sex.
It's just sex.
Oh, I love that. And I love that this is something that you're so open about on TikTok because, you know, I've kind of got that brain where I can easily talk about sex because of my job, but some people find it really hard and you do it so publicly on TikTok. How's that journey been for you? And like, what kind of response do you get from people?
People love it.
Yeah.
And I think because I have a story and it's like everyone's immediately interested by that. But then there's like this thing where we just spoke about like, why aren't we talking more about sex? It's so normal. And I think it's like, okay, it's probably more of a thing you have with the person you're in the room with rather than just openly talking about it. But I don't know why dudes aren't talking about sex and things like that, because like we all do it. We all want it, I suppose. And just me getting my stoma, it was like the first thing, like literally the first thing that I thought about, like, fuck, how am I going to have sex again? Like, you know,
exactly. The insecurities, and this is across for everyone, no matter what they're going through. Like the insecurity is so rife with sex. Like people just automatically go there straight away. They're like, what if this happens? What if they don't like this? What if I don't know what to do? What if they think I'm bad? Blah, 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 blah. But then like you said, in your experience, like sometimes in the moment it just happens and you're like, oh no, we're like humans, we're just meant to do this.
Like, and like, I suppose like, look, I'm no pro. Like, you know, I think like we're all learning, we're all trying to get better and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, and I think I have to figure out my body again. And I think a way for me to figure out my body again is just be by me talking about it, you know. And I think it's weird in getting the stoma, most people would think like they would go into their shell and retreat and not want to talk and share about their stuff. But for me, it's like, well, I can do that, or I can just go and try and make the most of it, because there are probably people out there that want to do it, but they're too scared to do it. And I'm like, well, if you're all too scared to do it, then I'm prepared to do it, you know? And I think I do it in a way, I suppose, that's very casual and very like fun and all that sort of thing. And yeah, I suppose I'm just very comfortable talking about sex because like I've never met a person that doesn't think about it, doesn't like, you know, want to experience it in some way.
I love that so much. And yeah, it's obviously been working, you know, in your favor. People really connecting with you, you know, whether that's people who have similar, you know, like Crohn's disease, or they have similar things that they can relate to, or if it's just people who are curious and just like someone talking about sex. And I think we've seen that now, like, you know, TikTok is, when this airs, like TikTok will be flying you to New York and you'll be having this huge trip. And yeah, it's just really exciting, Harrison. And yeah, I guess like for the last kind of question to wrap this up would be like, what is your advice for anyone listening who maybe does not necessarily live with some sort of disability, but someone who might have something that they feel quite insecure about or when it comes to dating and sex?
Yeah, look, I said before, like, I think you can retreat in your shell, and that's so okay. And I think you're entitled to do that, because going through whatever it is you're going through, like a disability, like a medical condition is, like as we said at the start, it's exhausting. But every day, I like to think, does get a little bit better. And the more you open up and want to have conversations about it, I don't know, it can feel encouraging to connect with people. And I think, I suppose, my main platform being TikTok, it's unique in that, like, you never know who you're going to reach. And every single day that I open the app, I'm learning and seeing people of all, with all different types of things. And it's exciting. I'm matching and talking to people that live in America or Europe or Argentina and things like that. And I think it's, yeah, part of how I've learned to accept my condition in seeing people that, yeah, just randomly DM me being like, my boyfriend's got this. Thank you for, you know, I've shown him some of your TikToks and he feels a little bit better and things like that. Or like, I had, like, at the very start, I had this girl from Canada who messaged me and she said, like, her mum was, like, a part of, like, the Crohn's, like, community there, like, a very big advocate of it. And she passed away, like, a few years before. And she's like, my mum would be, like, would love what you post. And I'm like, holy shit, like, you know? So you never know who it's going to reach. And I think, yeah, if you can find an outlet to, like, make yourself feel better or, you know, like, I don't really know where I'm going, but, like, I think.
I know exactly what you're saying. It's like whether that's reaching out to you or connecting with people online or just, you know, putting yourself in community. I think community is such a huge word that gets thrown around. But, you know, whether that's like Facebook groups or connecting with people like yourself, influencers or people who are advocates or whatever it is and reaching out and having those conversations and chatting to like-minded people, like that's where you'll probably feel less alone and less insecure about stuff that you're going through because you have people who reflect the same experience as you.
And it, yeah, definitely. And I think social media is unique in like, I don't know, like a large portion of people that use TikTok, for example, are the quite like younger people. And I'm probably just generalizing with having stomas in the ostomy community and like the overall messages that were being presented are like generally from like on their Instagram accounts, like a lot of the big companies are using like older folks. And this is no hate towards older folks because I think like their stories and things like that are always valid. But I think for someone like me that is in their 20s, I don't want to be getting stories and things like and learning about their experiences from someone at 60, 70 years old. Like it's going to be valuable in like that time. But like I want to be hearing and talking about sex from people that are my own age, you know? So Facebook groups are great. But I think if you're a young person and want to get information from like try and go on TikTok and try and 100%. Find what's there, you know?
100%. Oh, Harrison, this has been such a nice chat. Thank you so much. It's been so informative for me, but yeah, hopefully for like everyone listening as well.
Thank you for having me.
How bloody great is Harrison? If you want to go have a look at his TikTok, you can find him at Harrison Kefford. So HARRISONKEFFORD. Obviously, you're listening to this podcast, so it's not a visual thing. You can see a lot of his posts about, you know, his stoma bag, who shows you it, what it looks like, but also he does fit checks as well. He shows how he dresses himself and talks heaps about, like we've been saying, his dating and sex life. So yeah, you should definitely go and check him out. And yeah, hope you enjoyed and learned something from that conversation. And if there's anything that you want to chat about, you can DM us at Triple J The Hookup, or maybe there's someone else that you've seen on TikTok or you're a huge fan and you'd love us to maybe interview them for you. You can also, let us know. You can email us thehookup@abc.net.au. Okay, I'll catch you next time. Bye.